Here we are with Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District. He's been in office since 2013. Congressman, welcome back. Always great to see you. Yeah. Okay. So not long ago, you were on a congressional trip to Eastern Europe. What did you see and what did you learn?
Well, first and foremost, I saw some incredible young men and women in American military uniforms doing great work to support Ukraine. One young Army major, Duncan Walker, grew up at West Point. Dad was a professor there. He went on to be a cadet himself, and now he's serving our country on the Ukrainian border. So we're not going to fight the Russians directly, but there are a lot of brave Americans there doing good work. What I also saw were Ukrainians coming across the border in desperate situation, and we just can't do enough. So I'm so proud that we are putting billions of dollars in this fight. We are providing the kind of weapons and ammunition, heavy weapons and equipment, air defense systems, anti-tank systems, anti-ship systems, the kinds of air defense systems that will help the Ukrainians own their airspace, and it's working. The Russians are losing and the Ukrainians are winning, but it's far from over.
Well, you know, when all of this started, I was one of those who got it wrong. I thought at that moment that, we couldn't possibly deter the Russians. And then all of a sudden, we were deterring the Russians, that the whole world was. What do you make of that?
Well, a number of things. We all underestimated the Ukrainians, and it starts with their extraordinary president, Zelensky, who's a real hero, who's got grit and courage and determination. And then, of course, the Ukrainians, regular citizens who are both in the military and just regular folks who are out there putting their lives at stake to defend their country. It's inspiring. So that's number one. I think we underestimated that. What we got right, however, was in declassifying American intelligence, sharing it with our allies, rallying the NATO alliance so that when it became true, when the Russians went across the border, we were ready. We were ready with the sanctions. We were ready with the NATO response. You've seen the Germans in particular double, almost triple their military budget for the first time since the Second World War, directly send heavy weapons to another country in need. We've seen them cancel the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. None of those things were set in stone. They were made possible because the American intelligence community went to our allies and partners and said, look, here's what we know is going to happen. And if we overestimated the capabilities of the Russians, well, you know, that's maybe the better kind of problem to have, because the fact is that we are in a much stronger position, but it's than we might have thought possible. But it's really because the Ukrainians themselves, and because we were there for them when they needed it. But we're not finished yet. We've got to keep them in the fight, and we have to win it.
What can we do to help the Ukrainians now?
I think the single best thing we can do is to provide more sophisticated weapon systems, radars, air defense, anti-ship missiles, so that we can keep raising the cost on the Russians. We saw the sinking of the Moscow, the flagship of the Russian Navy in the Black Sea. That was done by the Ukrainians using an anti-ship missile system called the Neptune. There are better systems called Harpoon technology. We need to get them those systems. That means you don't get an amphibious landing at Odessa, and the Russians can't own the Black Sea coast. Critical. We can also get them the SA-300 radar systems, as we have now done from Slovakia, thanks to that NATO ally, and we can backfill those systems so Slovakia doesn't lose its air defense. But what that gives the Ukrainians is the ability to shoot down Russian warplanes in the skies over Ukraine, and it means we don't have to go shoot Russian systems in Russia and trigger World War III. We can give the Ukrainians the technology they need to defend their own country. They need longer range and more precise artillery to be able to get at these Russian positions. Those are the 155-millimeter systems that are now getting in the fight. So we need to provide better weapon systems, more sophisticated, heavier systems, but they have to be ones that the Ukrainians are already trained up on and know how to use, so there's no lag time, so they can get right in the fight. And you're seeing that happen.
So, Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, do you see any situation where U.S. troops would be on the ground and fight?
No, and we shouldn't. And we shouldn't do that unless attacked, unless our NATO allies are attacked or we're directly attacked, because that will trigger World War III, and none of us wants that. What I can tell you is that when you meet these Ukrainians and you see their determination, you feel pretty confident that if we get them the support they need, and it's not just military support, I've been talking about that, but it's also critical that we keep their economy going. It's critical that people get food. It's critical that there be medical attention and humanitarian assistance and support for the refugees. And so you have to do all of those things. But if we do those things, especially the military support, the Ukrainians can win this. They can win this war without American soldiers having to directly engage in the combat.
So, would you say that this conflict is going to last a long, long time, or do you have any sense of how long it will take?
I think there will be different phases. I think we've already seen the Ukrainians win the first phase, and that was critical. We are now in the second phase of this conflict, where it has moved to the eastern region and the Donbas, and we must succeed in stopping the Russian assault there, because they're seeking to expand the areas they now control and link them up with areas along the Black Sea. They have to fail at that. The third phase will be in rolling back the pre-existing Russian occupation of areas in the Donbas and Crimea, and that will be almost certainly a much longer project and will probably in the end require some type of negotiated solution. But they need to lose the war first, and that's the key. The Russians need to lose this war.
I see, according to the newspapers as we speak, that the Russian leader, Putin, may be in ill health. How do you think that affects all of this?
Well, I hope it impacts, the Russian ability and determination to wage this war. Vladimir Putin is a war criminal, and there should be justice for him in this life or the next. And if the good Lord wants to enact that justice sooner than we can here on Earth, then I'm all for it. I hope he has a very bad trip to the doctor, but I wouldn't count on it as how we're going to win this war. We need to have a long-term plan to make sure the Ukrainians win. But I can tell you, it can't be good when you got a bunch of oligarchs wondering whether they're betting on the wrong horse, when we're seizing their yachts and their penthouses and making their lives miserable, when they're looking at the guy leading them down this path and he may be not long for this world. So it absolutely undermines the Russian effort, but we need a plan one way or the other.
We only have 2 minutes, but I wanted to ask you real fast. How much of this is affecting our inflation in the United States in terms of gas and other things?
There will be sacrifices for the American public, and we should be straight with people on that. It's not the only thing going on with inflation here. We're seeing inflation around the world, of course, and we saw inflation around the world, both in domestic goods and groceries and gas. These are largely supply chain issues. Obviously, government spending is always something we have to be responsible about, but we absolutely saw an increase in worldwide oil prices when Russia engaged in this buildup, and especially when it launched the war. And now that we are banning the importation of Russian oil, both in the U.S. and increasingly from European areas, that is going to take about 10% of the supplies off the global market. And that will create some pain here at the pump. I think most Americans understand this is important. And there are other things we can do to get gas prices down. We need to do them. It's a problem that it costs what it does. And we can do something about it.
We've been talking with Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney. And Congressman, thank you for being with us. When we come back the next time, I want to talk to you about inflation.
You bet.